Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's me, everybody. Miss Mika. I may sound a little harsh today, but I've been fighting the cold. And we're going to get through this, as I've been advertising that we're going to talk about some inspirational women. And I wanted to start. Oh, Carl, are you there? Carl's with me.
I certainly am here, Mika. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. You're really helping me
and
out.
And don't forget our producer.
Oh, Doc. Yes, Doc is producing. I told you, it's the cold medicine. Bear with me.
That's okay.
Okay, so.
So, Mika, before you start, I have a question for you, and I know I'm doing this. I didn't prep you for this. What do you consider an inspirational woman to you? What's your definition?
Someone who has the same values as I have, who strive to do better, who always try to do better. Nobody's perfect, but they pursue to be perfect.
Good.
Think about other people,
good.
Help other people, yeah. And I have a whole field of women I could name, and I had to narrow it down because this is just a show, so I had to narrow it down, and I narrowed it down to I will consider maybe my top four, and I'm just going to go down my list here. The first person I have on my list is Michelle Obama, and she is an inspirational woman to me because we both was born in Chicago, Illinois. I know it sounds personal, but coming out of that South Side, anybody who lived there know it is not easy to get out. So, and she was our first. I like to use the word black better than African-American because if I was in England, I wouldn't be an African-American. I would be black. So black is more universal. So she was the first black first lady, as the whole world knows. And she's an activist. And she inspires me because she focused on more than what she had to, being a first lady or not. She, you know, wanted to inform people about living healthy and being healthy, you know, taking care of your body. I've listened to her book on Audible, Becoming, which is just basically a walkthrough of her life and stuff. It wasn't all preachy or nothing. It's just what led up from her beginning of time to today. And she's fabulous, so I like her. She's always in style. She's funny. She's always trying to pursue things in a good light.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know people may have other opinions, but this is my show, so.
There you go. I like that.
I happen to agree
with you in terms of her for a number of reasons. She has an elegance and style to her, and that doesn't mean that in any other, you know, that she outshines other first ladies. But her style, and that even since she's no longer the first lady, her influence in that has not waned, and she's like a rock star of first ladies. It's amazing to me, you know,
right.
and there's a lot
the
to
stuff
that.
She did before she even got to the White House. Like a lot of people probably.
Like, what were some of the things that she did, Mika?
Well, she went to Harvard for one, and that's just an accomplishment within itself. She went to Harvard. She worked as an attorney for the city of Chicago. She was what is it called? Like a student. She worked in the registration office of the University of Chicago.
Okay.
Excuse me. And she was just always out there putting her best foot forward before, like, the White House was even in the picture in her life. So even if she wasn't the first lady, I honestly think that she still would have done something great in her lifetime besides just being the first lady.
Yeah.
And she had a husband who loved her. Like, who wouldn't want that?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, the other thing, too, is I think her relationship with Barack is really something and quite equal, which is, you know, maybe unusual. But I find that a real positive too, that she hasn't, she's let her own light shine in that relationship.
Right.
Do you
and
understand
she also,
what I mean?
Yeah, like they, it's like it's really a 50-50 relationship with them. It's not you're the woman, you do this, and I'm the man, I'm going to do that. It seems like they work really well together. No matter who does it, it just seems like it needs to get done. They don't look at it as that's your job, this is my job.
Right.
That's what I gather.
No,
and I also,
go ahead.
Oh, and also, I didn't know this myself, but I found out recently that she was part of the organization to help find the girls that got kidnapped over in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
She was part of that organization to help find those girls and bring them home.
Good. You know, and the other thing, too, is no matter what your political perspective is, you see her, you know, trying to make the world better by her own terms. Now, if you don't agree with her terms, fine. But that's what she always, you know, wants to do and tries to do. And I think that's a really good positive attribute.
Because right.
We all try to do that in our own way, hopefully, anyway.
Yeah. Hopefully. It's the ones out there that's kind of lost out there in the universe, but I'm not pointing any fingers.
yeah, I'm with you.
So, yeah, so just from her being from the same place I was, she kind of just relates to me more on a personal level, which is one reason why I picked her and stuff. And she's funny.
And I didn't know you were born in Chicago. That's cool.
Yes, I was born at Marco Reef Hospital. It's no longer a hospital anymore, but.
Yeah, I actually spent time in Chicago. I got my master's there, my master's in church music at Concordia University at River Forest. I love Chicago.
Chicago. It's a good city. I love the food. And then my favorite place in Chicago is downtown. But, yeah, like, it's good culture there. It's a lot of diverse people. I mean, yes, it has its problems. The place really doesn't have its problems. But I haven't even been there since, like, 2010. But that place is always home to me. So as long as I've been away from there, it always comes out like I could be somewhere else. And then I talk real fast, and people's like, you must be from up north. So, yeah. It sticks with you wherever you go. You can move away, but you know, it'll still be there. And who I had next on my list, since we done chatted up, my next woman is like, I love this woman since I was probably like 9 or 10 years old. Jennifer Lewis.
Yes.
People don't know who she is. She plays right now. She's playing the grandmother on the TV show Blackish. She's been like on, I don't even know how many Broadway shows, but she's also an activist. I picked her because she's just actually taking life and living it. Like, if you know her or know who she is or keep up with her, this woman is living life to the fullest, which is one reason why I picked her, because she's always seemed to have a good time no matter where she is. She's also an activist. I loved her book, The Mother of Black Hollywood. And I didn't want to give too much away about the book, but she had her own personal trials and tribulations. She was diagnosed with, I think, bipolar. And she fought that and made it through that, which is one reason why she inspires me, because she also just let the world know, you know, everybody has problems, and if you just stay focused and fight through it, you can get through it. And right now she's 62 years old and living her best life. Like, who can be mad at that? And she had, what else did I have on my notes? I wrote a lot about her. Oh, go ahead.
No. I'm not that familiar with her as much, to be very honest. So you went a little fast for me. What was the illness that she fought through?
Bipolar.
Bipolar. Okay.
Yeah, she was diagnosed with bipolar probably like in her mid-50s, and I didn't know this either until I read her book, and she battled with it her whole life and wasn't sure what it was. And she finally got help for it professionally when she was like in her 50s. and stuff.
Well,
but
you know, if you battle anything like that, whether it be a physical disability or, in that case, a psychological mental disability like that, and you get through it, that's a big check mark in my book. Trust me.
Right. That's for me, too, because it's like you can, especially at such a late age, you know, most people get older and get stuck in their ways, and for her to push through that and come out on the other side smiling was just like a big inspiration to let me know, you know, nothing you handle in life can be, you know, can consume you unless you let it consume you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's also an activist, too. She fights for the LGBT community, you know, women's rights. She's out there fighting for all that, Black Lives Matter and all that stuff. She won the NAACP award. Like, she's just out there kicking butt and taking names. And
I like women who kick butt and take aim. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, she talks for Disney cartoon characters. She does a lot of voiceover work. Like, she's everywhere. And so, but she mostly plays a mother, which is why her book was titled Mother of Black Hollywood, because, like, almost every movie that she's in, she's the mom. But that's just
cool.
The title that she gave herself. But, yeah. Like, who could be mad at that? She's the same age as my father. She was born 1957, so, like, she's been through a lot. And so
yeah,
she don't know
so I'm basically the same age as your dad, too. So I'm that old, too. It's scary.
I don't really consider that old. Old to me.
Well,
like
you're not there
like
yet. You don't
there.
Understand. It's okay.
I mean, but I don't even, hopefully, if I'm blessed enough to see that age. I don't think that would be old. Like, old in my book is somebody who's like mid to late 80s. You know, that's old.
Right.
Like,
understood.
60s
understood.
Prime. 60s is kind of like you're still young enough to comprehend stuff, and you know, if you take care of yourself, you're still young enough to get out there with the best of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, some people just let themselves completely go. And
well, okay, so what's your next choice? Who's your next person?
I was stuck between Viola Davis and Angela Bassett, but I decided to go with Viola Davis, and she played in. I know you probably, she picked a lot of actresses, but that's my passion. She played in The Help, and she played in a movie with Denzel Washington, and I can't think of the name. Fences or Hidden Fences.
Right, Fences.
Or
Fences.
Yeah. I picked her because I'm a theater geek, so. But I picked her as well just because she is an activist. She's always sticking up for women's rights. And she was the first Black woman to win. What did she win? She won an Emmy, a Tony, and an Academy Award.
Mm-hmm.
She was the first Black woman to win all of those. And
yeah.
I picked her personally because she is a dark-skinned woman. I know it sounds kind of shallow, but for her to just go out there and break those boundaries like they don't exist, give women like me, younger girls like me, hope. Like, we can actually go out there and do it, you know, because we do have that self-conscious in us. It's like, oh, they're not going to pick me, or I can't do that, or I can't work in the front desk of an office, and because, you know, we kind of get sheltered because of how dark our skin is, but if she's just going out there and snatching up all these awards and appearing in all these movies, like, there are no boundaries, you know, the sky's the limit and stuff. And that's one reason why I picked her, because she's just one of my favorite people to watch on TV.
Well, I have a story about Viola Davis. One of my favorite films of all time, it's my favorite sci-fi film of all time, is a film called Solaris. It was done in 1972 by Andrei Tarkovsky, a Russian director. Well, Steven Soderbergh remade the film in, I think it was 2002. And it was the first time that I ever saw Viola Davis on screen. And she plays, the movie is basically there is this living planet. And George Clooney, in this case it's George Clooney, goes to there to check things out. And Viola Davis is one of the people. And what this planet does is it checks your mind out and gives you a visitor. someone that you need to ask forgiveness of. And Viola Davis just absolutely made my jaw drop in this movie. Seriously.
And how old is this movie?
It's like 2002, 2003.
Oh, I'm gonna have to go find that one.
Oh yeah, you could find it. You could find it. But she's absolutely phenomenal in this. And then ever since I saw that, anytime I would run across her, I would watch her and absolutely be just, you know, I couldn't take my eyes off her. I mean, that's what it came down to. I was just like starstruck. She's that
right.
good.
Yeah, she played a lot of different type of roles too. Like, she just don't typecast herself in one specific type of role. Like, she's all over the map, which is what I love about it. And I was going to say earlier, you said you didn't know much about Jennifer Lewis. You ever seen What's Love Got to Do with It? I think that's it. The Tina Turner movie?
Yeah, actually, I have, but it has been a long time ago.
She played the mom in that, and she played the mom like everything. She played the mom in Temptations. She played one of Will Smith's aunts on Fresh Prince.
Okay, now that I wouldn't know her from. Okay, now
yeah,
I know who she is.
The big mouth one.
Right, okay,
the one who
gotcha.
Always says Diva. Yeah, the big mouth one.
Ah, yes, okay, now I know who she is.
Yeah, that's why I was going to say that earlier, but I kind of sick mind here. I might as well have pregnancy brain how I feel right now. But yeah, that's Jennifer Lewis. And right now she's on TV today. She plays on the TV show Black-ish. And my last person, I saved the best for last, which is Whoopi Goldberg. And she's been sick herself lately, which kind of had me sad. She has pneumonia. She's like really been down, like not just like a little cough here. She's been like really ill. But I picked Whoopi because out of the bunch of everybody I got, I don't know what that was. Sorry, guys. Bunch I got. She is the oldest of the group. So she's been around the longest. And I picked her because she was one of the first people that I seen on TV who looked like me, but I seen her in various different things. I think the first thing I believe I noticed her in was is it Jumpin' Jack Flash?
Yeah, that would be one.
I'm trying to think when I was little. Jumpin' Jack Flash, and I think, what is it called? Born in America? Or Made in America with Ted Danson.
Oh, I think it's Made in America, actually.
Yeah, Made in America was like one of the first two things I seen her in, and then The Color Purple. But for me, especially at that time, we didn't see too much of ourselves reflected on the screen, and I was just like, I love this woman. And then we have the same birthday, so.
Oh, cool.
November 13th, yes. We have the same exact birthday. She was born November 13th, 1955. I was born November 13th, 1985. And she's an activist. She's currently on The View. Well, she's not on The View right now because she's been sick. She is the second black woman to win an Academy Award. She also has an Emmy, an Academy Award, and she won a Tony. No, a Grammy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what she won a Grammy for, though. I would think Sister Act. But she...
Yeah, it was Sister Act. I can verify that.
Right. That's the only thing I noticed of her, that she was singing. And she also funded a school in Africa as well. I think it may have been a couple of years before Oprah had did it. But, yeah, she also, too, have a school in Africa. She's always out there fighting for the LGBT community as well and stuff. And she has a lot of, what are they called, honorary scholarships?
Yes.
From colleges and stuff. And she's just I picked her because she's just an all-around, rounded person. No matter what the situation is, she always can just, like, cut through the middle of a situation and make sense out of both ends. And I like somebody who thinks like that. I try to train my own self to think that way instead of just being one-sided all the time. And that's pretty much all I have to say about Whoopi, who was born Corinne. her real name.
Well, there's a number of things I can say about Whoopi. I got to know her as a stand-up before Color Purple. She was on several stand-up comedy specials, both on HBO and Saturday Night at the Improv. And the one thing about her is there was no shame. The things that she would talk about and that nobody else was talking about, particularly from a black female perspective. You know,
right.
I mean, she had a whole routine on having a period, for example. And nobody would talk about that, but she did.
I never seen
she
that.
She didn't care.
Sadly.
You know, and so it was this brashness that I appreciated with her. And she, you know, took that persona and then transferred it on the screen. Now, you know, her early material, particularly, you know, from Color Purple and that sort of thing, you know, they tried to make her into an action star with Jumpin' Jack Flash and Burglar and Fatal Beauty. But, you know, she, you know, even with all her films, I don't think it ever really showed the real Whoopi until Star Trek. When she was Geenan on Star Trek, you know, this she played a sort of all-knowing, humorous bartender. And she, you know, that was a role that really worked for her. And that was the role, you know, that role and Ghost, you know, brought people to her. So she left brashness. And the other thing that really had an effect on her was her long-term relationship with Frank Langella.
Mm-hmm.
And that too, to see the two of them, you know, and there was a lot of where people like, why the white and black, you know, a black woman like Whoopi and Frank Langella, what? And the love that they showed and the way that they presented themselves was really something. And there's, as far as I know, they're still together today. And I think it's a wonderful thing. So
right.
I've always had a love affair with her. Go ahead, Nika. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. I was just saying, that's what I liked about her, that she didn't have the ideal, I use quotation marks, ideal beauty. You know, she had the dreadlocks back then, which really wasn't popular amongst, like, Hollywood. Even the other black actresses who was out with her, she looked different from everybody else, and she still just made a name for herself. And, you know, that couldn't have been an easy road to walk down. Something
well,
I read about her,
you know,
that she
it's
also...
It's not just that. It's that she didn't care what they thought.
Right.
That's the beauty of it. She was going to be herself no matter what. And that, to me, is an important part of anyone's being, to be sure of yourself and say, this is who I am. And she certainly did that. There's no question.
Right, and that shows that, especially for people coming up behind you, that taught me that it's okay to be myself. You know, you don't have to mold yourself to fit a certain image to be successful. You don't have to dumb yourself down or, you know, change anything about yourself to be successful. You be successful by being who you are. And, you know, the right people will accept that. And I also read that she suffered from drug addiction.
Yeah.
And the fact that she's, 60 years old now, and no, she made it
she's
through
like
that.
52.
She didn't let...
She's a year older than I am, a couple years older. So she's 63, 64, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Yeah, she was born 55. Yeah, you are correct. But to make it through that and still be healthy and still to be a role model for a lot of people is, you know, that's amazing, because a lot of people have addiction and addiction always wins. So for her just to walk through that and still be looked at as, with Whoopi Talk, people listen. Like, to still to have that ability after all that she's been through, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are not born, it's not born to hold that torch. You know, you do something wrong and then nobody wants to listen to you no more. You know, with the words you have to say, it's not worth a penny. But she's been through all that and people still, she walks through a door and people's going to shut up and listen to what she has to say. And that's just amazing to me within itself. It's something that I hope to have and accomplish one day. So maybe I'll get there. If not, I'm gonna try. I'm gonna keep trying.
Well, that's the whole point, Mika. You go and try. That's certainly what we're trying to do here at the Legion. You know, we're trying to bring something new. You know, and you don't stop. You keep trying. That's exactly what you have to do.
Yes, and it is an uphill battle, but it's one I will not lose.
I like your spirit, lady. I like your spirit.
Well, thank you. I wake up every day and try to tell myself, oh, you can do this. I don't know what the day is going to bring, but whatever it tosses at you, you're going to handle it. And you're going to do it with a smile. It's exactly what I try to tell myself every day. I have children, so I have to put that into them as young as possible because, you know, we need that. We need that inspiration. I hope my kids can look to me as inspiration as I look to all these women that I just named because I didn't really have that growing up. I had a good childhood. It wasn't the best, but, you know, I had to get my inspiration from other places. So I just try to be an inspiration for my kids and keep it pushing.
So do you have one more ready or not?
No, I don't have nobody else. But at the top of my head, like I said, I can name a lot of people.
Well, before you do, let me ask you this.
You have anybody?
Yeah, I actually will have one, so I can bring that. But let me ask you a question.
Okay.
What do you see of these people that you mentioned, of these women that you mentioned? Is there a through line through all these women that you see in each of them?
And
would you consider that the most important aspect
neighbor.
Of being influential to you?
You mean like all together as a whole?
Yeah, as a whole. Do you see any through line, any attribute that you could say to all of them?
Oh, okay. Let's see. I would probably say, because, like, yeah, in general, they all kind of do the same thing. They push forward no matter what the situation calls for. And they all had their own trial and tribulations, you know, to climb over, and just for them to keep pushing forward, it's just, it's amazing to me how they just never buckled at the, you know,
mm-hmm.
all together. But if all of them was in front of me right now, the only thing I would think of is just thank you. I probably would, like, curtsy or something. I don't know what I would do if they were all here. I would just shake all their
hands. You'd probably give them all a hug.
If I can move, I'd probably be too starstruck to do anything. But yeah, okay, let's see. If they were all here, I would probably tell them all, thank you. You know, keep being you, keep doing you. And they have motivated me so much in my life personally that they have no idea. I don't know if any of them will ever hear this, but it's because of the women that I named that I do get up every day and try to put my best foot forward. And I can honestly say not a day go by, like if I do run into a situation, not a day go by where I don't think how would one of these women handle this situation. And that pushes me to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And my mom.
Good.
And my mom.
So I actually have two quick ones I can go through. Now you, of course, talked about women of color being black and in your 30s and definite influences. I'm going to add another one that if you don't know who she is, you need to check her out, okay? Now, mm-hmm. being older, I'm going to go older, of course. Have you ever heard of a musician by the name of Etta James?
Yes.
Okay, Etta James, now her story was somewhat whitewashed. But if you see a movie called Cadillac Records, she was a blues singer, an R&B singer in the 50s, And then she signed with Chess Records. Chess Records was run by a couple of Polish guys, Phil and Leonard Chess. Actually, Chesnikov, but that's okay. Her story is really something, because she fought through drug addiction. She fought through abuse and many, many things. And she had a regal outlook and attitude. And, of course, she was called the Queen of the Blues. And she really was somebody that when I first heard her, my mouth dropped. Voice is just unbelievable. But the main thing about her is how she survived and how she, and once she had her child, what was his name? Rudy, I think. I'm not sure about that. But that changed her life, and she cleaned herself up and just really, really just an incredible singer. And all throughout her life, through Chess Records and going on further, and she sang well, and she died in the early 2000s, but she sang all the way through. And all so, right. You know, it's that sense of survival. She had this will to survive and get through things that just so strong. And as I was growing up and I was, you know, found her and various people, that will to get through trials and tribulations of your life really does have an effect on you.
Right,
And if you let it. And it can have a good effect. And so, you know, throughout the difficulties, you know, I look at people like her. And I say, well, right. If she can do it, so can I. So that's one person I would mention. And I'll finish up real quick. Let's put it this way. I love women, okay? And I love someone who is going to stand up for themselves. I like strong women, always have. One of the strongest women I ever saw, and I was very young and I didn't understand it, was Mae West. Mae West, to me, is the epitome of not giving a fuck. Seriously.
Right.
She didn't care what you thought. And she was going to be, you know, the sexual being she was going to be. And if you didn't like it, tough. And this is
right.
A woman that wrote a play called Sex, was arrested for pornography and sent to Rikers Island and was there for over 9 months. And she wouldn't back down.
Right.
I mean, one of the things I remember being young, and I was, the movie came out in 78, so I was 19 maybe. And on HBO, there's this movie. It's a horrible movie. It's called Sextet. And it's based on a play that she wrote while she was in her 40s. So it had never been produced. At this point, she's well into her 80s. I think she's 83 at this point. And she's just playing the Mae West character like anything and having Timothy Dalton just coo at her feet and Ringo Starr and everybody. And, you know, a lot of people found it painful to watch. I, however, thought it was absolutely invigorating to see someone who at that age still, even though she was weak in the knees, she had problems, she still was who she was. And
right.
She had no apologies whatsoever to anyone.
Right. And unapologetic, that man. That's what you have to be sometimes.
Yeah. But you know, you don't see that. You certainly don't see that sexual being of someone who's that old. Now, these days, this is the...
Hurt the kid.
This is
she was sexual.
Oh, I love Eartha Kitt. Oh, God, I love that woman. Not only was she sexual, she basically told Lady Bird Johnson to go take a flying F. I love that woman. Absolutely adore her. But you know what? These days, there's been a lot of progress in that sense. You take a look at Dame Helen Mirren. You take a look at a lot of these people in their 70s, and they're still sexual beings. And to me, you can thank any one of those. You can thank Mae West because she was the first one to do it. So those
would be the
two that
Meryl Streep,
I would add.
She's still like a little older sex kitten, Meryl Streep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Jessica Lange as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I love those two.
And these were actresses that were popular when I was growing up and I was a young adult. Okay. And so to see the progress and to see them still be, you know, women and have a sexual life, I think is a wonderful thing.
All right, because we're
to
all
me,
women.
It'll always be Helen Mirren because
we're dead.
Yeah.
You never stop being a woman. Yes, society try to take it away from you at a certain age. But I told my sister this the other day. I was like, because what is her name? She walked the catwalk just a couple of days ago in Paris. She's 70 years old. Grace Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Walked the catwalk in Paris at 70, and she looks flawless. And I was telling my sister, I was like, these women nowadays are not backing down. They're going to keep their sexy until they die, and I love it. I love it to pieces because it's like we're here and we're not going nowhere, you know, accept it. Or close your eyes if you don't like it.
Yeah, exactly. And again, it's that attitude. It's that attitude that I am, you know, comfortable with who I am, and if you don't like it, tough shit. I love that.
I had that attitude in high school because, like, let's see, high school, early 2000s, and, you know, everybody had their trend, and I always like to dress different. And then, you have people talking about stuff that you wear, and I always tell them, if you don't like what I wear, then, you know, when I walk past you, you can close your eyes, or you can gladly take me shopping on your dime. You know, you don't buy my clothes, you don't pick out my clothes. If you don't like what I wear, just close your eyes when I walk past you. It's that simple. Like, people hated me in high school because I didn't take crap from nobody.
Mika, I'm going to give you a little hint. You still don't.
It's true, I don't.
That's one of the reasons we want you on the Legion.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, I want to really thank you for doing this show, and I want to just make it official. As far as I'm concerned, you are a member. And you are. You keep doing what you're doing. Okay, so tell people what else you do, because you have your own series on Anchor.
Yes, I have my own podcast on Anchor called Don't Hold Your Breath, because if I have something to say, I'm going to say it, which is why I titled it that. You can check out the Facebook page for that. It's titled Don't Hold Your Breath. I am on Instagram under DJ Pepper D. Everybody always wonder why those are my children's names. David Jr. Pepper,
nice.
And I have my third one, which is Sage. I'm on Twitter as Mika E. And right now, that's all I have going for me. I am trying to audition for theater, the Roxy Theater. So everybody out there, cross your fingers and your toes and hope they let me in.
Well, you got something else for you, too, because you're now official here. So you plan your own shows. You let me know you're on.
I didn't want to announce here since I was on the show. But, yes, I'm here now. I'm a cast member. You will be hearing a lot more from me. It depends on my mood. You know, like right now I'm in a good mood. I'll check it up to the medication. Some days I might help.
Oh, you're in a good mood. I hate to see you when you're in a bad mood. We should do a show like that, too.
just for the hell of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It depends on the topic. It depends on who I'm on with. I like Carl. Carl makes me laugh. And, like, you will see, like, you will see a very ugly, not ugly side. I don't want to say ugly because nothing about me is ugly. But you will see a very
pissed off side.
I like the word bossy. You will see a very bossy.
Bossy. Oh, okay. Oh, you're bossy. Oh, shit. I better move.
A very bossy side. Like, I don't take, you know, don't dish it if you can't take it. That's all I tell people. Because
well,
I
listen, Doc will verify this, but I kind of like bossy women, so it's scary.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Hey, that's my motto. I call it like I see it. That's it. I call it like I see it. I'm not about to take your crap unless you're planning on taking my crap too. So,
there you go. I like it.
Doc, tell us what's coming on. What's coming on tomorrow?
I wanted to salute.
Oh, wait a second. Go ahead, Mika. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's just one more. I don't know too much about her, but I was always obsessed with her as a kid. Princess Diana. She was one of my favorite people. I don't know if it's because she was a princess or what, because I'm a girly girl at heart. But she did a lot of stuff for the world and stuff. And I actually cried the night that she died. But yes, I want to salute her this month because she was incredible. She was always out there helping the hungry and running all kind of charities and organizations and stuff. So, yes, Princess Diana, I salute you.
And I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
Me too.
Oh, all right. So, Doc, tell us what's coming up here.
Well, tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Sludge Pit, we will be having a continuation of the Hammer discussion we had last week, but we're actually going to be moving into the Hammer Monsters, the reptile. There are some of the Frankenstein films, mummy films, Dracula films, of course, and other little creepy crawly critters that they've worked on. So we'll be talking about them, and then I'm going to see if I can for next week. I'm going to try and see if I can schedule something special. And I'll definitely
get you. I have one more plug-in. I forgot my YouTube channel, Mika's World. Yeah. So if you want to see me and my crazy family, subscribe to my YouTube channel, Mika's World. We're always posting crazy videos and such. So there you go.
Okay. Doc, you've got something actually going to happen at ISF as soon as we're off. So tell us about that, too.
Yes, at 9 o'clock tonight in the Incredibly Strange Films group, I will be... I have nothing to do with making of the movie, but I'm going to be setting up a live watch of the 1950 film Cyrano de Bergerac, starring José Ferrer. And I remember watching when I was a kid and absolutely loving it. So I don't remember exactly if it's held up after the 35 years I haven't seen it. So it's going to be pretty interesting. It's going to be cool for tonight. And we're going to be mixing things up with different types of movies, different genres, and everything. And I have a little bit of a project. Oh, that's okay. And I'm working on some new projects for my YouTube channel also. If you want to look up Sludge Industries on YouTube. And I think I just had two videos go active. Don't remember what they are at the moment. But I have an interview with Bert I. Gordon coming up next week, along with an interview with Pat Priest from the Munsters next week. So that's cool.
Ooh, that's cool. Like the original TV show?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, Pat Priest, the original Munsters. Yep.
I love the Munsters. I used to watch that with my dad all the time.
Cool.
I love it.
That brings back memories for me. He passed away last June.
Oh, my condolences, Mika.
On Thursday,
Chrissy will have a show. Sorry, Chrissy. We don't know what that is yet. On Friday, I've made a decision, and we're going to continue.
Okay.
Yes, I've made a decision. It's scary. we are continuing our celebration of Women's Month all month on my show. So next week, next Friday, this coming Friday, will be women film directors. So that's what we're going to talk about. So there you go. Mika, I got to say something and make it official. Not only are you a part of this group, but you did extremely well tonight. I'm really proud of you.
Sure did.
Thank you, guys.
Let's give her a hand, Doc.
Actually, wait a second. Hold on. We have an official. We have an official applause.
I felt like I was bombing because, like, just wait till I'm 100%. Then you really will have a lot of Zoom Boom Pow coming from me.
That does not surprise me.
Hey, Doc, can you ever do a watch party so we can watch the original Night of the Living Dead?
Yes, but I have to we have to be very careful about watch parties, especially with Facebook, because we can do films that are in the public domain. Right now, I'm not really sure. I think Criterion and Janus Films have the rights to Night of the Living Dead, but I'm going to double check it. But I'll see what we can pull off. But we can do. But that's for Facebook. For here, for the podcast. Oh yeah, we can do it. We can do it, no problem. Because when we do a commentary that we're covered by the Copyright Act of 1970 something, that commentary, spoofing, and review and education. That covers it. So, yes, we can do Night of Living Dead whenever you want to.
Oh, great. That's like one of my favorite black and white movies.
Oh, so good.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'm a Pittsburgh boy, so George Romero means a lot to me. So, yeah. Yeah, we can definitely do that.
I thought it was Vincent Price. Is that not Vincent Price? Am I thinking of the wrong guy?
Well, Vincent Price was in many films, but not Night of the Living Dead.
Okay. What's his name you said, George? Greg?
George Romero was the director.
Okay. Okay, great. Yeah. I got it confused. But I still love Night of the Living Dead.
Okay.
But you know what? You're talking to two guys who know pretty horror pretty well, and we can make things happen for Night of the Living Dead. Trust me on that.
Great. Just let me know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. Whenever you're available.
All right. So why don't you go ahead and finish up and take us out, Mika?
How do I do that? Oh, tell
well,
me
yeah, just
fun.
Go ahead and do it.
All right, everybody, we're going to wrap this up, and thank you for tuning in and enjoying me, Doc, and Carl. And next week, I don't know what I'm going to talk about next. I might have to crash one of Carl's parties, so stay tuned and find out.
Oh, you can. You're welcome anytime. I have lots of keys.
Bye.
Excellent.
Okay. Good night, everyone.